بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد We begin this morning بإذن الله تعالى The chapter, the author, he has mentioned بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الذَّبْحِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الذَّبْحِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ Chapter, the author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى He has mentioned in the book of At-Tawheed the chapter that which has come with regards to a dhabh, slaughtering an animal for other than Allah, meaning the chapter that which has come from the evidences in the book and in the sunnah with regards to the issue of slaughtering for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the threat with regards to that, and that the one who performs this has committed an action of major shirk that will take one out of the deen of al-Islam. Slaughtering an animal It's an act of worship. It must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever slaughters an animal seeking nearness to other than him subhanahu wa ta'ala, or seeking that person or that object or that thing's aid and assistance in order to slaughter the animal, then he has committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyadhin billah. And this is because just like salat is ibadah, and whoever prays for other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he has committed major shirk and he has left the deen of al-Islam. And just like fasting is ibadah and it must be for the sake of Allah alone, and if somebody were to fast for someone other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then this would be considered major shirk and it would take him out of Islam, so on and so forth, from the acts of worship that are clear, likewise from those actions that are considered actions of worship, rather from the greatest actions of worship, particularly with regards to the worship of the wealth and the money, slaughtering a dhabh, slaughtering an animal. Babu ma ja'a fi dhabhi li ghayrillah. The chapter which has come with regards to slaughtering for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhabha yadhbahu idhbah dhabhan. من أي باب؟ أحمد فتح أحسنت ما شاء الله باب فتح So the author, he mentioned the evidence for this. He says وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ He said the statement of Allah the Most High, say, قُلْ يعني قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Allah Azza wa Jal is commanding the Prophet Muhammad صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ to say, قُلْ يعني أَخْبِرْ هَؤُلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ Meaning to inform those mushrikeen, those people who from their deen is that they worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal, that they worship stones and they worship idols. And from the acts of worship that they used to perform for their stones and their idols is that they would slaughter for other than Allah. They would slaughter the animal. They would slaughter a sheep or so on and so forth, seeking nearness to their stones and their idols. So Allah has commanded His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to oppose them and to go against their way and to clarify that He's free from their way. And He said, Subhana, to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي Verily, my salat and my nusuk. The ulama, they mentioned the nusuk. This is a dhabh. And إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِ أَيْذَبْحِي that my slaughtering, my salat and my slaughtering. This word nusuk, it has more than one meaning. Sometimes it means the sacred rites of Hajj. Also, it means in its origin, at-ta'abbud, to worship. But many of the ulama, they mentioned, for example, Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that it's a dhabiha fil hajj wal umrah. A nusuk is considered the dhabiha. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has referred to in His book, فَفِدْيَةٌ مِّن سِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about the fidya, the fidya al-adha, for the one who has violated one of the wajibats of Hajj, the way to fix that and to rectify that is to make a fidya. So Allah, He mentions, فَفِدْيَةٌ مِّن سِيَامٍ أو صدقة أو نسك. أو نسك here means an animal that should be slaughtered. So that's the meaning of نسك. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He commanded the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to tell those polytheists and those pagans that verily my salat and my nusuk, my slaughtering that I slaughter. Yani, وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and my life and my death. وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ يعني كُلُّ مَا أَفْعَلُهُ فِي حَيَاتِي مِنْ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ, everything that I do in my life, everything that I do in my life is for Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَمَاتِ وَمَا أَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ, the ulama, they say, مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمِلِ الصَّالِحِ, and likewise, the way that I die, yani upon iman and upon righteous deeds, all of this is sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So the evidence here in this verse is clear for the proof the author he is mentioning. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, no partners whatsoever in that. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ, and this is what I have been commanded with يعني الإخلاص في العبادات. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned and coupled in the mention the salat and nusuk together. And then along with the rest of the acts of worship as well, and the entire life all the way until death, that a believer will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and make his worship sincere. But Allah has specified the mention of these two great acts of worship, as-salat wa nusuk, together. As-salat wa nusuk, slaughtering, mentioning together. And salat is from the most virtuous, of course, actions of worship with the body. A person, he recites and he stands and he makes ruku' and he bows and he prostrates. And there's all different types also actions going on with the heart of hope and fear and trust and reliance and the likes in the salat and supplication and calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hope. This is all going on inside the salat from the great aspects of the worship of the body and the heart. And likewise in slaughtering is a great act of worship, knowing that this is a commandment from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that this animal is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a blessing. And to slaughter in the name of the one who created it, showing thanks to him for the blessings and not showing thanks to others and that did not create it, nor did they provide it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is worshipped with these actions. So the point is that they are coupled together to clarify the importance of these actions. And so just as if someone were to pray to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he would commit, that's major shirk. Likewise, an-nusuk. Because Allah, He mentioned these actions together, and then He said, لا شريك له, لا شريك له, no partners whatsoever. There can be no partners in salat. There can be no partners associated with Allah Azza wa Jalla in the salat of a servant. If he were to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in salat, it would be rejected, and he would have left the religion of Islam. This is very clear. This is very clear. But the same thing, just like that, because Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who has commanded us and required for us to worship Him with this action called as-salat. And He has clarified how it should be performed. So therefore, since we are commanded by Allah Azza wa Jalla to pray in this manner and to perform as-salat, this is an act of worship. So it must be for Him alone. Likewise, along with salat, He has commanded us with nusuk. He has commanded us to slaughter. He has commanded us to slaughter whenever we are in the Hajj. This is a commandment for those who have made certain rites of the Hajj, that they have to slaughter Hadi. And it's also recommended for those who are not in Hajj to slaughter also the Adahi, and so on and so forth. These actions here, they are acts of worship. These actions, this slaughtering here, what is not intended is to eat the food. What is intended is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the purpose for slaughtering the Udhiyah, and this is the purpose for slaughtering the Hadi. After that, if a person eats or benefits from it, this is permissible in some circumstances, but this is an act of worship. So it must be for Allah alone. La sharika lah. La sharika lahu. So whoever slaughters for a grave, or he slaughters for something other than Allah Azza wa Jal, for a wali, for example, or the likes, even to magnify and to honor a leader. The ulama have mentioned if a leader or somebody who is haughty praise comes, and a person, he slaughters a sheep to praise him, and he, as a magnification of that person, this is also considered shirk. This is also considered shirk. Naam. So, but it's very important for a believer to know the ruling of a dhabh. So not every dhabh is considered shirk. Or what are the aspects even before that, how shirk is committed in this action, in this action of slaughtering. The ulama, they mentioned that in slaughtering, that shirk can be committed in two ways. Anybody have a at-tasmiyah li ghayrillah? Ahsant. At-tasmiyah li ghayrillah. So what is in it? What is that though? Where's the act of worship there? Because shirk is to worship, is to direct, and to make a very beneficial and clear understanding of shirk. The ulama, they mentioned many different definitions, but one of the most clear definitions, sarfu shay'in min al-ibadati li ghayrillah, to direct anything from an act of worship to other than Allah, this shirk. Anything. So then if we see that it's established, it's an act of worship, to direct that to other than Allah, this is shirk. Naam. So where is this? Aywa. That's a tasmiyah. Two aspects. One aspect is the act of worship. One aspect is the act of worship, and that is taqarruban ilayhim wa ta'zeeman lahum. Naam, to seek aid and to draw near to them, to slaughter for them, to slaughter for the grave, to slaughter for the wali, to slaughter for something other than Allah Azza wa Jal, for the jinn, to slaughter for them. He's afraid that jinn will harm him. He slaughters for them. This is ibadah. He's seeking nearness to them. He's seeking nearness to them, hoping that they accept his worship, slaughtering for the jinn because he's afraid of them, hoping that they will not harm him. Like this, slaughtering for the wali or for the grave, hoping that it would bring good for him, or that in the likes like this. So from this aspect, that's ibadah. That action of at-taqarrub, this is ibadah, seeking nearness and the likes. But with regards to the tasmiyah, naam. At-tabarruk. We're close. In the tasmiyah, there's two things. One of them was tabarruk. The other one? Aristiana. 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 Somebody says Bismillah, yani that he's seeking the aid and the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam. So whenever we slaughter Bismillah, this is Aristiana. As we know, the brothers in the Arabic courses, we have seen the ba here, ba Aristiana, the ba of seeking help, Bismillah. Yani the ba, this word is harf al jar, and these huruf al jar, they have meanings. They have meanings. So al ba, it has many meanings from them, in and with. Also from them to seek help. For example, you say قَطَعْتُ بِالسِّكِّينَ وَكَتَبْتُ بِالْقَلَمِ يعني بِاسْتِيَانَةِ الْقَلَمِ أَكْتُبُ. Like this. So the ulama, they mentioned that the ba in the bismillah or in the basmala, it means الْاِسْتِيَانَةِ. So you seek, you begin with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking his name and seeking his aid and seeking his assistance. Also seeking his blessing. But here, the one who makes a tasmiyah of the wali, when he slaughters, he's seeking the aid of the wali. So from this aspect, there is ibadah. The ibadah is making shirk and istiyana. Or even if, so we see that the one who slaughters, it can be in different ways. He can slaughter, for example, the one who slaughters in the name of Allah for the sake of Allah alone. What's the ruling of that? Slaughters for the sake of Allah, in the name of Allah. مشروع. هذا التوحيد. هذه عبادة. قربة. Now the one who slaughters, he Bismillah, and he slaughters for the sake of Allah. In the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah. This is the correct ibadah. This is what is required. And this is the proper act of worship. طيب, somebody, he slaughtered Bismillah for the grave. That's shirk. That's major shirk. From what aspect? from ibadah, from seeking nearness, the action of ibadah and drawing near, or hoping for acceptance from the grave or the likes. So this one here, he said Bismillah though,
right?
But he still made shirk because of his heart is hoping for the reward or hoping for the help or the aid. His heart, he's doing it for the grave. So even if he said Bismillah, and what is clear, and he apparently that he slaughtered it properly, but his heart is attached to the grave, and he had done that for the grave, or for the wali, or for the jinn, or for whatever the case may be, then that is major shirk. That is major shirk.
The Shia, like you mentioned, they would say Bismillah, and then they mention the name of the Imam, like Abu Faraz. So the intention, yes, they invoke Allah's name, but like you said,
it's still making shirk.
Still making
from
shirk
that aspect.
The last aspect of pleasing their imam and now,
that's right. So then from this side, so then whenever a person slaughters for other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, it can happen in more than one, and the shirk can happen in more than one way. In the tasmiyah or in the action, or it can happen both of them. So for example, this person here, he made the tasmiyah lillah, but he slaughtered for the grave. That's major shirk. You understand that? He made the tasmiyah, Bismillah, but he slaughtered seeking nearness to the grave, or seeking protection from the jinn. He slaughtered for the jinn, seeking protection from them. But he said Bismillah. What is the ruling? It's shirk, major shirk. It's major shirk. Naam. طيب, if he slaughtered in the name of other than Allah, for Allah. He slaughtered in the name of other than Allah, for Allah. Like he said, for example, somebody, they might say, Yathin Billah, in Jesus' name.
That's major shirk.
Bism al-Masih, like this. And they slaughter. For Allah. For Allah. From what aspect?
From aspect of invoking other than Allah's name.
Why?
Seeking help by the tasmiyah,
al-istiyana. And istiyana is ibadah. It's a specific type of ibadah. And the ibadah in general is to seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla, by the means that He has legislated. Now, but they said, the ulama, they mentioned that whenever in the tasmiyah, that this is al-shirk fil-istiyana. So even if he slaughtered for the sake of Allah, in the name of other than Allah, it's major shirk. Major shirk. Naam. And then, طيب, somebody who slaughtered in the name of Allah, but not for any particular reason, or person, or something, not for any particular thing, but rather because he wants to feed his family. Jais. Mubah. For example, he wants to eat, or he has a guest coming, he wants to honor his guests, and the likes like this. So he slaughters, Bismillah. So he has some meat in the refrigerator to feed his family and to feed his guests when they come. What's the ruling? This is permissible. This is permissible. This is the correct yani, but the ulama don't consider this one actually an act of worship, like a udhiyah. And all those yani slaughtering in the proper manner is definitely an act of worship, but as a specific act of worship that one will seek to perform in order to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, like salat and so on and so forth, then that's not the case. This is to slaughter for laham. They say shatu laham. Yani, but whenever you slaughter, you mention the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you slaughter in the manner that is prescribed. That is prescribed following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the legislation. But as for the slaughtering that has been legislated in order to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is the adahi and the aqiqah likewise, and also the hadi, naam, and the rites of hajj, so on and so forth. So what is clear here? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ أي في ذلك لا شريك له وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Naam, so he says, again say, tell them that verily my salat and my slaughtering of the animal, my nusuk, these sacred rites of slaughtering and my whole life and my death and everything that I do in my life and that which I die upon from Iman and faith is all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. No partners whatsoever in that. And this is what I have been commanded with, and I am the first of the Muslims. And meaning from this ummah. And I am the first from the Muslims, meaning from this ummah. Then the author, he mentions, وَقَوْلِهِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. He mentioned another evidence here also with regards to the clarification of the virtue of slaughtering. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Again, there's a coupling, the mention of two great acts of worship together in one context. What are they? Salat and slaughtering. وَانْحَرْ and nahr is a type of slaughtering, yani al-dhabh, one har, yani wathbah. Naam, so the ulama, they mentioned the type or the way of slaughtering animals are different. To slaughter, to cut, to slice the throat, this one is called dhabh. And then to poke and stab one of the artery, a particular artery in the animal, this is called a nahar. They stab it and they cut it up and down. Like, for example, it's not from the sunnah to make dhabh of the camel, to slice the throat, but rather to stab the throat. There's an artery in the neck, and they stab it, and they cut up and down. And that's where the artery is there, and the blood comes out very fast. And it's the best way, and the kindest way, and it's the legislated way, and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to slaughter a camel. As for other animals like a sheep, it's not dhabh. It's what is the sunnah is the dhabh. But in any case, the outcome is the same, whether it's a nahr or dhabh. It's the slaughtering of an animal. It's the slaughtering. It's the legislated slaughtering of an animal. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He told His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, "Fasalli li rabbika wanhar," and that you must pray for the sake of your Lord, and sincerely with ikhlas, also wanhar. And also li rabbika, and bil ikhlas, sincerely, for the sake of Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded to make the prayer sincerely and purely for Allah, as salat, and we know the greatness of salat, and the status of salat in al-Islam, and also coupled with that, in more than one verse, we see here the mention of slaughtering, to indicate likewise the greatness of that act of worship. That is a great means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is from those deeds that Allah is pleased with. And it must be performed in a manner that He has legislated. And it must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah azza wa jal alone. And the one who directed something from this action of slaughtering to other than Allah azza wa jal, no matter what it is, whether it's a prophet, or whether it's a jinn, or whether it's a grave, or whether it's a wali, or righteous person, or whatever the case may be, then this is considered major shirk, just as if one were to pray to them and make salat for them. This is the same issue. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been commanded to oppose those people and to be different from them and to not follow their way. The author, he mentions likewise now, an Ali رضي الله عنه قال حدثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعربي كلمات علي رضي الله عنه. He has mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke to me, or he told me four كلمات بأربع كلمات, before, with four words, and he has narrated to me and informed me about four words. What is the meaning of كلمات here? قول مفرد أو كلام. كلام كلام. Sometimes the word كلمة is used to refer to a word, like we're familiar with a word قول مفرد, one word, like كتاب for example. Other times the word كلمة is used to refer to a whole statement, for example كلمة الإخلاص, كلمة التوحيد. What is the كلمة of توحيد? أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, كلمة الإخلاص. They say this is the كلمة. Sometimes the word كلمة is used to refer to a whole speech or a khutbah. You say, MashaAllah, did you hear the Shaykh? He gave a great كلمة today after Asr, for example. Like this, he gave a great كلمة. And meaning a whole speech or sermon. A whole speech or sermon. نعم. Ibn Malik, he mentioned that كَلَامُنَا لَفْضٌ مُفِيدٌ كَاسْتَقِمْ وَاسْمٌ وَفِعْلٌ ثُمَّ حَرْفٌ الْكَلِمْ وَحِيدُهُ كَلِمَةٌ وَقَوْلُ عَمْ وَكِلْمَةٌ بِهَا كَلَامٌ قَدْ يُؤَمْ كَلَامٌ قَدْ يُؤَمْ وَكِلْمَةٌ بِهَا كَلَامٌ قَدْ يُؤَمْ يعني يُقْصَد. So sometimes the Arabs, they will use the word كلمة أو كلمة, and they use that to refer to كلام, speech. And the Quran is an example too. Afwan? Karimatullah hiya al-ulya. This one, what's karima is that? Ahsant. That's shahada. Naam? More than one example. Everybody came with a different verse. Huh? And I was thinking of a different one. جعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه. That's also كلمة. That's referring to the statement before that, huh? Which is the meaning of كلمة الإخلاص. إني براء من ما تعبدون. أيوة. كلمة. إنما هي كلمة هو قائلها. صح. That's the verse. إنما هو أو هي إنما هو كلمة. هو قائلها referring to رَبِّ رُجِعُونَ لَا لِعَمَلْ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Now, the point is, the word كلمة, sometimes it means a whole statement or even a khutbah or even a whole speech. So here we see that Ali, he says when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to him بِأَرْبَعِ كلمات, four statements, four beneficial statements. The first one, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may Allah curse the one, or may Allah curse the one who slaughters for other than Allah. Or Allah curses, in either dua or it's information. Allah curses the one who slaughters for other than Allah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned that just as Allah and yusalli, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah azza wa jalla yusalli ala النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He mentioned he does with speech, with قول, with speech. Allah عز وجل, he speaks, he has speech. سبحانه وتعالى. Likewise, he curses those people who deserve to be cursed. عياذا بالله. لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله. لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله. May Allah curse those who slaughter for other than Allah. لعن الله من لعن والديه. And may Allah curse the one who curses his parents. لعن الله من آوى محدثا لعن الله من غير منار الأرض رواه مسلم. May Allah curse the one who protects a muhdith, and may Allah curse the one who changes manar al-ard. Now, so there are four things here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and he mentioned that all of these things are cursed, and the curse of Allah is upon all of these issues here. And he began with the most severe. لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله. Why is this one the most severe? Because it's shirk. Because it's shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Should I not tell you about the greatest of the major sins? The greatest of the major sins. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلِشْرَاقُ بِاللَّهِ. So الذبح is shirk. It's shirk. الذبح لغير الله is shirk. الذبح لغير الله is shirk. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began with this one, and he mentioned لعنة. اللعنة يعني الطرد والإبعاد من رحمة الله. To be far away from the mercy of Allah. To be cast away far from the mercy of Allah. That's what لعنة means. That's what لعنة means. يعني لعن from Allah عز وجل, to be cast from His mercy and to be far away from His mercy and kindness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another meaning of la'na is any sab wa shatam. If somebody says la'na fulanu, fulanun fulanan, and so-and-so, he cursed him, and he called him names, and he spoke bad about him. He cursed him out. I say in English, he cursed him out. He called him names and talked bad to him. Like that, that's also used, the word la'an, in this context here. But what it's referring to here is yani to be cast and thrown away far and distance from the mercy of Allah عز وجل. لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله. Now, because this is shirk. لعن الله من لعن والديه. لعن الله من لعن والديه. May Allah curse the one who curses his parents. Somebody would do that. The companions, they heard this narration. It has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr. There's another narration like this from Abdullah ibn Amr, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, he said, min al-kaba'ir shatmu rajuli walidayhi. He said, from the major sins is that a man will curse his parents. And he cursed them, and to call them names and talk bad about them. And to call them names and ashat them, sab, is to talk bad and to call them names and to curse them in their face like this, or to even not even their face, but to curse them in that manner. You understand? And then he said, the companions, they said, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَهَلْ يَشْتُمُ الرَّجُلُ وَلِدَيْهِ. Will somebody really curse his own parents? Will somebody really curse his own parents? And he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, قَالَ نَعَمْ يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلِ فَيُسُبُّ أَبَاهُ وَيُسُبُّ أُمَّهُ فَيُسُبُّ أُمَّهُ. He said, "What, that one individual, he will curse out the father of a man, and so he'll curse his father. Or he will curse that man's mother, and he will curse his mother." Like this. So this is a very important narration. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he considered this cursing his father and cursing his mother. And then he said before that, in the other narration, may Allah curse the one who curses his father or mother and his parents. So the one who was the means to do that, whether he did it, for example, himself, of course, this is a major sin. But even if he didn't curse directly his parents, but he cursed somebody else's parents, which led them to curse his parents back, he is considered, because he is the mutasabbib, the one who caused this action, that he violated the legislation and then caused this action also to come about, then he is held accountable for that. Likewise, and he is considered cursing. He's considered like he is the one who performed the action. He's considered like he's the one who performed the action. Somebody, for example, would say, your mother is this and that. Like that. That's what they do here in America, huh? Like cursing your mama like this. And then he'll say it back to him, well, your mother is like this and that then. Or your father, or may Allah do this with your father or your mother. Like, well, may Allah do that with your father and your mother. And so because he did that, and because he cursed and made the shittim or the sub of that person's parents, then he did it back to him. So both of them are in sin, and both of them have the threat of the curse of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is a major sin. Now this is a major sin. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَيْهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the second one. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ آوَى مُحْدِثًا. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ آوَى مُحْدِثًا. May Allah curse the one who protects a muhdith. The muhdith has more than one meaning from the meanings of that word. يعني من أحدث في دين الله عز وجل بدعة. The one who innovated in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's considered muhdith. And al hadith fi din is a bid'ah. A hadith fi tahara is? We've been taking tahara, huh? Al hadith fi tahara? When was that? Asghar wa akbar. Al wasf al qa'imu bil badni yamna'u min as-salati wa nahwiha. That's a different hadith. Here, al hadith here is an innovation in the religion. Also a hadith, also from another meaning in the deen, is also to perform actions of sin, any major sins, any ahdatha dhanban, he committed a sin and the like. So the one who protects a sinner and the ones who are evil and corrupt and wicked from the innovators or from the corrupt evil sinners and the people who have committed crimes, to protect them and to keep them safe from the authorities if they're searching for them. For example, somebody, he stole something, and somebody will hide him and protect him from the authorities. Somebody killed somebody or took somebody's right, and he will take him in and he will hide him, so on and so forth. This is considered an iwa al-muhdith. This is not permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed this person, somebody who committed an action, and the Muslim ruler is going to establish the head on him. For example, somebody made zina, then it was known, or somebody stole, and then it was known, and this reached the Muslim ruler, and the Muslim ruler was going to establish the Islamic ruling upon him, the head, the legal punishment, and then somebody, and he ran, and somebody takes him in and hides him, and helps him get away and sneak away. Like this, this is that type of person. Likewise, this is that type of person. Likewise, or somebody who is aiding and supporting that person, or somebody who is aiding and supporting an innovator. Likewise, supporting innovators is not permissible. Supporting innovators is destroying the religion. The innovation destroys the deen. Namus is a means to destroy the deens. It's not permissible to aid or support them. Some people, they give their money to the masajid of the innovators. And Ahl Sunnah is striving to pay the bills. And they give lots of money to the Tablighiyin and the Ikhwan Muslifin, Muflisin. And they give money to these masajid thinking they're doing good deeds. And they're just helping the destruction of Islam. Helping the innovators, helping helping them to establish their facilities so they can establish their innovation. This is not permissible. Now, this is not permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the person who aids and supports or hides an innovator. And the deen of Allah azza wa jalla is something that's dangerous. Something that's dangerous. La'an Allahu man ghayyara manar al-ard. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, may Allah curse the one who changes manar al-ard. Manar al-ard. And manar is the plural of manara, mararatun, which is an alama. And that they would say that it has more than one meaning. Manar al-ard is like the signpost that determine between two people's lands. Like there's a fence, for example, or there is something that they know, this is my land and this is your land, or this is his land and this is his land. There are signs and posts, these are called manara, that determine these lines. Somebody who came and changed it. It's like, for example, his line is right here. Nobody's looking. He takes 2, 3, 4 feet. He put it over here. Like this, he changed it. So by doing that, taking the right of another person, this is not permissible. Somebody, for example, he has his fence. He wants to build a fence. He knows where his line is right here in his yard. But he's like, you know what? I move it over. A handspan. How much is a handspan? Like this. Just 5 inches, 6 inches. He will never notice, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam threatened the one who takes a handspan of someone's land without right. There's a threat of a great punishment in the hellfire. Now, for the one who took the handspan of somebody's earth, somebody's land without right. Now, somebody's land without right. So this is only the signs that determine between the properties of individuals to change them. This is what this person is cursed. Also, one of the meanings that ulama, they mentioned, this is what the author, he refers to in the Masail. They are the marasim, or the signs. For example, this one says north, and this one says south, and this one, this land is this way, and this land is that way. And in 20 miles, there's a gas station. Or these signs on the road that direct on the path to change them. To change them, like this. It says go that way, he changed it to go that way. Or whatever the case, where he takes it, he moves it all together like this. This is all considered, the ulama have mentioned, manat, changing the manar al-ard. This person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has cursed him. Naam. So all of these affairs, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that these people are cursed. But the point of the author is the first issue. La'an Allahu min dhabaha li ghayrillah. We see that's a major sin. Rather, it's shirk, and the greatest of all sins. Naam, it's a major sin. And rather, it's the greatest of all sins. And from that, because it is considered, as shirk. طيب, the next narration, the author, he mentioned, and Tariq ibn Shihab, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال دخل الجنة رجل في ذباب ودخل النار رجل في ذباب. The narration of Tariq ibn Shihab, radiyallahu anhu, is from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's mentioned that he narrates many narrations from the companions of the Prophet. So he's a companion who narrates on the companions. This is considered mursal al-sahabi, and it is an authentic narration if the rest of the chain is authentic. So he narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that a man, he entered paradise fi dhubab, and another man, he entered paradise fi entered the hellfire fi dhubab. What does that mean? We're talking about harf jar before, huh? They have meanings. Dakhala al-jannata rajulun fi dhubab. What is dhubab? A fly. A man entered the paradise fi dhubab. Aywa. La bud an afham. Somebody who didn't know the Arabic language, he might say fi in a fly. It doesn't mean in here. The word fi has many different meanings. The word fi has many different meanings. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dakhalat imra'atun an-nara fi hirra." Fi hirra. Fi here, it means because of. So fi doesn't always mean in. and in the point, and to learn the Arabic language clearly is very beneficial to help understand this text. A man, he entered paradise because of a fly. Fi, you translate fi to mean because of a fly. And another man, he entered the hellfire because of a fly. Because of a fly. قالوا يعني كيف ذلك يا رسول الله. How was that? He entered the paradise because of a fly, and another one, he went to the hellfire because of a fly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مر رجلان على قوم لهم صنم لا يجوزه أحد حتى يقرب له شيئا فقالوا لأحدهما قرب. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that two men, they passed by from the children of Israel, from the previous nations. Two men passed by a group of people. They had an idol that they used to worship. And he said, nobody can go past the path from here, can pass this point right here, except he has to slaughter something. Yuqarrib, and to slaughter it, to seek nearness to their idol by slaughtering something. So one of them, so he said, they said to both of them, qarrib, and he slaughter something, seeking nearness to our idol. So one of them, he said, qala laysa indi shay'un uqarrib. One of them, he said, I don't have anything to slaughter and present for sacrifice. Huh? And he agreed with him, sah? He said, I don't have anything. Meaning if he did have something, then he would have done it. So he said, well, I don't have anything. So here, he by not refuting this or rejecting this, then he has agreed with them. So it's basically understood that if he did have something, he would do it. So this is what they understood from him. And because he didn't refute them. So then they said, okay. قَالُوا لَهُ قَرِّبْ لَهُ ذُبَابًا. Then just slaughter and sacrifice a fly then. Just a fly then. You don't have anything? Khalas, just a fly. It's not about how major it is. It's about being in accordance with them and upon their way and upon their deen. Naam, it's being upon their way and upon their deen. Doesn't matter if it's a camel or a fly. The issue here is just to perform the action. Make shirk. See, draw near to their stone, to their idol. So he said, "Qarrib." They said to him, "Qarrib, walau dhubaba." To slaughter and sacrifice, draw near to our and worship our idol, even if it's a fly. So فَخَرَّبَ ذُبَابًا فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُ فَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. So he said that he slaughtered the fly and drawing near to their stone, and they let him go, and he entered the hellfire because of this. وَقَالُوا الْآخَرِ. They said to the other one, "Qarrib." They said, "Slaughter something." فَقَالَ مَا كُنْتُ لِأُقَرِّبَ لِأَحَدٍ شَيْئًا دُونَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said, I would never slaughter and draw near to anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything whatsoever. فَضَرَبُوا عُنُقَهُ فَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So they hit him in the neck. They killed him. They struck his neck with a sword and they killed him, so he entered paradise. رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدُ رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدُ. So we see that the point of the narration is that it's clear slaughtering for other than Allah Azza wa Jal is a means to enter the hellfire. And because it is a major, it is major shirk. Naam, because it is major shirk. It is major shirk. These two men, one of them, he didn't have a problem. He didn't have a problem. Both of them, they didn't come for this reason. They came and found themselves in a situation like this, and then one of them, he said, I don't have anything. And he didn't, refute that, or he didn't have the magnification of Allah in his heart to magnify him. I'm not going to slaughter nothing like the other one did. In his heart, the tawheed was great in his heart, and the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jalla was great in his heart, and he couldn't even find it. It was something that he made inkar of immediately. I'm not going to slaughter nothing for other to worship. For example, if somebody said, just prostrate right now for this, you don't got to know that, just prostrate right now, just bow to it. Just bow to it, to the stone. Huh? Right now. Or this guy is coming right now, this Sufi Sheikh. we won't do nothing to you. Just put your head on the floor by his feet. So the person of Ta'udhu Billah. Ta'udhu Billah. And this is something major, but some people, they don't have that ta'zeem in their heart. They don't have that magnification and glory and love of Allah Azza wa Jalla like that, where they're like, they're just, okay, what I got to do? Let me get out of this situation. What do I need to do? Like this, ayyadan billah. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that either in this time of this previous nations, it was not permissible to make or perform an action of disbelief, not even if one is forced or coerced. Any al-ikrah is when somebody is forced. As for in the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in our deen, in the deen of al-Islam, if a person is forced to do something out of his own will, then it's permissible for him. If he is in danger for his life, if he is clearly in danger for his life, then it's permissible for him. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about that, من كفر بالله بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned that the one who disbelieved after his faith, after he has believed, except for, that he will have the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, except for the one who is coerced or forced while his heart is tranquil with Iman. But so the ulama, they mentioned that this was the case there. This was not allowed in either. This was not allowed in their deen, or either this person, he had strong iman, and he did not take the rukhsah or the license, like Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala. He did not take the rukhsah whenever they tried to force him to say that the Quran was created. Some of the ulama, they took the rukhsah, and they mentioned that to save themselves, because the ulama of the sunnah were being killed. Some of them were harmed and even killed because of that statement, and they did not make that statement of kufr. Some of them would make it, taking that rukhsah. Imam Ahmad, he did not take that statement. He did not take that rukhsah, rahimahullah ta'ala. But this is something the ulama, they mentioned in this case here, that either they were not allowed to do that in their deen, or else he had just strong iman and he refused. He refused to commit an action of disbelief, even if he was forced to, and he preferred death over that. But the point is clear that slaughtering for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is major shirk, and this is not permissible. And slaughtering is an act of worship that must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah. Rather, it's from the most virtuous actions of worship that can be done with the wealth of a person. Because a person, he has to take that wealth, he has to buy the animal. He has to purchase it. The money that he wants to keep it, he wants to have it. He wants to use it for whatever he wants, but instead he will use it to purchase the animal, to slaughter the animal, and then give the animal the meat away and share it as a charity, so on and so forth. But in any case, it's an act of worship. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.